Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem that is complicated. Going through changes and I just can't ignore the signs. Hear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me growl, hear me howl in the cold.
Off the road, won't get a bounce, and it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us again tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel and your only source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and presented by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight, the man who's back at work after a nice, lovely summer vacation, Matthew Cox. Sir, how are you?
I'm not wearing any pants.
And I will say the same thing I said earlier. I didn't need to know that.
To be fair, you didn't say that. And I mean, I am wearing shorts. I'm just not wearing pants.
The technicalities of it all.
I want to be accurate here. In the interest of full transparency, my shorts are not see-through.
Well, our Patreon executive producer tonight is Randall Gainforth. Thank you very much, Randall, for being a consistent and longtime supporter of the show with Patreon. We do appreciate that. If you want to know more, Patreon is the best way to support our show and support what we do as the Unused Substitutes, so please consider that. We will also mention it towards the end of the episode. If you want to give us a tweet out during the show, during the broadcast, during the week, maybe during game days, at Unused Subs Pod is the mothership. That is the big one. That is the one that, At _S_Cundiff, you'll get some of my thoughts, theories, comments about games. @unsub_Matt. Wow.
Yeah.
I was just dyslexic through that entire thing right there.
That whole no pants thing has really thrown you off.
It's, well, I mean, it's not just that. But, yes, @unsub_Matt, if you want to give Matt a comment, a shout, a thought process to consider, like, you know, wearing pants. I have to start this on a somber note, and this is the real distracting thing, because it came to our attention this afternoon that a very longtime member of the Tampa Bay Rowdies fan community, supporter community, one of the OGs, has unfortunately passed away today. Michael Parsons, the man who really introduced and started the Who Are Ya movement in Rowdies culture when we got started in 2010. It was announced by his family that he did pass away today. Our thoughts go out to him and his family, prayers to all of those in the Rowdies community that were very close to him. I understand that for the game this weekend that there is something in the works, possibly doing some sort of commemoration for him at the match. Not like necessarily or specifically supporter related. I'm talking actual club organized. So that was some really, really crappy news to hear. Mike, like I said, for those that have been around, Mike goes back to the 2010 days and before, as far as basically when the team got announced. He was a part of kind of getting the supporter group organized. He was getting ideas as to what our culture would kind of look like to kind of get things off the floor. He's legitimately like one of like the founding like types. I don't know if he's the original seven. I don't remember that. But he was there from the very, very beginning, regardless.
Yeah, if he's not in that first seven, he might be number eight. Like he's an original. he was around before I was around. I just saw that news. I got home from work this afternoon, and Dominguez had announced it on Facebook, and it's just like, and I guess, you know, I kind of scrolled through his Facebook page and I, you know, saw some of the posts from his friends and family, and I guess he had been sick for a while. I didn't know. And I'm trying to think when the last time I saw him at a game was. I'm pretty sure I've seen him this season. Like, we just kind of run into him either in the parking lot or, you know, for a while he was doing pictures down on the sidelines for Ralph's Mob. So we'd bump into him on the field and chat during a game or after a game. And like you said, like the first thing you think of when you think of Parsons is the who are you. So hopefully we'll have a very good rendition of that this weekend. That's that. I'm sure the club's going to do something or there'll be some kind of announcement, but that's probably one of the best things that the supporters can do on such short notice. And I know there's information coming out about his about a visitation and funeral for people to attend. That's a rough one, man. Thoughts, prayers, everything out to his family, his friends, the mob, all the people around the Rowdies, because he's a big figure.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he was at one of the playoff games when things started opening up at last year, I think, because I feel like I remember seeing him at a game recently, but he lived out in Tampa. I live in Pinellas, so it's not like it was something I could, we didn't really cross social circles very much in terms of the daily Monday through Friday. Of course, also, I also work from home, so I don't have any social outside of Rowdy's games. But yeah, it stinks because he is so deeply intertwined with the foundation of the mob. And, you know, when I was back when I was in leadership, he was the one, one of the things he loved doing at games was he always brought a camera. He was a photographer. He had credentials. The team let him on the field to, you know, do his thing. And, you know, for the mob, he was a photographer for the group and took a ton of photographs of the mob. Tons of photographs when we were back up in the original sections up underneath the overhang. So, yeah, that so many funny memories. Most of them involve drinking, but tons of good memories. All the trips we took down to Fort Lauderdale and Lockhart. Ah. The man had a mouth, and
yeah, he did.
He was legendary for letting you know if he did not like a call or if he wanted to taunt another player. Like I said, he's the originator of the "Who are yous" to begin with. The man could taunt like nobody's business and would just absolutely tell you off. So many funny moments on all of those road trips.
I'm just thinking about every time he would come up to me or Dan at a game, like if we were standing down there on the pitch or on the sidelines or something, like you just knew something was coming. And he always went after Dan first. Like he kind of left me alone. I appreciate that. I'm vulnerable. But man, he'd get after Dan, and it was just like, all right, what's he gonna say this time?
Yeah, I have missed him over the last year, specifically mm-hmm. last year since COVID started. But you know, it just stinks. You know, I mean, Father Time conquers all, but it still stinks. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh.
But as with anything, the good news is that in a less serious thing, there is some good news for this show. There is some happy moments. There are things that are great. And that is the Tampa Bay Rowdies at the moment. Because the Tampa Bay Rowdies went up to New York this past weekend and for the second time this year have pulled out 3 points.
Thanks in part to Jordan Adebayo Smith.
Thanks in part, yes. And
also thanks in part to Max Lakowecki's diving head.
So the Tampa Bay Rowdies go down early to an unfortunate goal. Actually, it wasn't really an unfortunate goal per se. It was an unfortunately brilliant goal because the finish was absolutely fantastic. There was no argument from anybody on the defense. It was just... all right, kid, you banged one in, and it was ridiculous. Congratulations. Let's move on. So New York gets a goal very early in that match. And the Tampa Bay Rowdies, featuring a lineup with one significant change in it that we had not really seen this year, and that was Leo Fernandez not playing, and having Max Lekowecki starting in that left midfield role. Now, we've seen Max before. Max arguably had one of the best touches of the year in the last match. And turns around, and this past weekend, puts on a near masterclass again. Max is absolutely feeling it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely, unquestionably, undoubtedly just feeling it. Every time that ball is touching his foot, it's doing something correct.
I believe the phrase is smoke 'em if you got 'em. And Max has a full pack right now.
In a set piece scenario, which will become the theme tonight. A very much scripted play. And if you noticed, a little different than what the Rowdies have done for set pieces with a lot of these games so far up to this year. Forrest Lasso does a feint inside and then drops back out to the far post. And they decide to play a little ping pong with the ball with headers. Forrest hits it all the way into the box, going back all the way to the far post. I believe Lakowecki's right there. He heads it back into the middle. And Jordan Adebayo Smith then puts the ball into the net. It was obvious as soon as that ball went in that was an entirely scripted set-piece play. And it was something that the Rowdies hadn't done this year specifically, the way that build-up was. So it's really, really cool that it worked so successfully against New York in the 33rd minute. Second half, that tied the game at 1. Second half, 47th minute, another set piece, another far post ball, cross back into the middle. And Max was hell-bent on putting that ball in the net with his head. He had made up his mind. That ball went in the air, and he's like, it's going to be a header. Because he's practically got his nose in the dirt when that ball finally gets to his head. And thankfully, it's a brilliant header. He puts it low, puts it far post, scores that goal, and the Rowdies hang on to win that game 2-1.
You know, I watched it when it happened. I've watched the replay several dozen times. And I cannot wrap my head around, like, reconciling the fact that that ball ends up in the net based on where, like, Max gets his head to it. Like, it's non-Euclidean geometry. It's Lovecraftian. That goal, like, it may, watching that enough times should drive you insane, because it absolutely makes no sense how that goes in. Like, both of the goals were just weird. Like, the Adebayo Smith one reminds me of it was a Liverpool Everton match where Jordan Pickford in goal for Everton, like, deflects a shot up, and this is like in stoppage time, several minutes in. This is going to end up as a 0-0 draw, I think is what it was. And rather than punch the ball out or catch the ball and fall on it, he, for some reason, sets it almost straight up like he's playing volleyball. And I think it's Divock Origi hits it, and it goes up, and it kind of bounces off the crossbar and somehow manages to fall in, and game's over. And just watching that, how they kind of ping-ponged it back and forth, and Adebayo Smith is just like, I'll just dink it over here for the last bit where there's no one. Completely open at in front of the goal. I believe that we've submitted this for consideration, but I believe this was an official set piece orgy.
Yes. Now let's take this one step further. Is this an official set piece orgy team? We have scored a good number of goals from set pieces this year.
This is true. At this point, whatever works, I'll take it. Because I'll have to admit, you know, going into this in the beginning of this game, you know, New York scores pretty early, but I think it was like the 9th minute. And I couldn't decide whether I was team they've scored too early or team we don't rally from behind. But I just kind of had a feeling. It's like, there's time. There's a chance. We might pull this off. But yeah, because this is, if I remember correctly, this is the first rally from a losing position to win all season. Have we come from behind? For a while, we just didn't give up that many goals to begin with. I don't think we've come from behind all year.
Wasn't the Loudon? What, didn't Loudon score first in the game at home? What's his face?
But Loudon doesn't really exist.
I mean, they barely exist less than New York does, to be fair.
True, although at least Loudon figured out how to draw. I mean, Loudon just won a match 0-0 against Charlotte, so, you know, hats off to them.
This is true.
Because if you're Loudon, that's a win.
This is true.
You're off the bottom of the table. I gotta go look at the scores here. I'm not sure. I thought that was the first time we've come from behind.
So here's the good news, though, right? We can take a look at the Rowdies' recent form. You know, we're 2-3 in the last 5. We've only won, like, you know, 2 of the last, like, 6 or whatever it is, something stupid. However, we have now won, what, 2 of our last 3?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, yes, Loudon scored in the 4th minute of that game at home. Guenzotti scored in the 34th, and then Langsdorf in the 85th. So, yes, I had it right in my head.
All right, so we are able to come from behind if we're playing MLS reserve teams. Other than that, we are not good at that.
And we do really well with streaks as long as we're playing against MLS 2 teams. Like I said, 2 of the last 3 victories. Overall, 2 of the last 3 games against 2 teams overall. So, you know, trends matter. Bucking trends matter. Reversing trends matter. Is this the start of a bit of a resurgence for the Tampa Bay Rowdies? I mean, outside of a crazy good goal against New York, you know, that was a pretty solid performance overall from the guys. We mentioned last week, Max obviously had some of the best touches of the game against Charlotte. And it stands to reason that he got the nod to start in this past weekend's match in place of Leo. I was absolutely blown away by how well he performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that he was able to do so after we were complimenting him for his performance against Charlotte. He's done well in the past. He has not necessarily performed badly in any of the sub appearances he's been in, but it's like gotten better, which was, I think, not something that people were necessarily expecting from him this season. But the other big, giant, massive, like, gaping thing that happened against New York that we specifically mentioned in the broadcast last week, that we have mentioned before, when playing against a team that likes to press, when playing against a team that likes to play on an open field, those are the games that Jordan Adebayo-Smith are best at. And what happens? We start Jordan Adebayo-Smith over Zach Steinberger, and he turns around and puts in a pretty solid 90-minute, well, not 90-minute performance, right? It was a solid performance. No, right? It wasn't. Yeah, it was. No, he came out in the 68th. That's right. Lucky came in.
Yeah, yeah. He comes off about two-thirds of the way through.
That's right. Absolutely solid shift from Jordan. Absolutely solid. He was pretty unlucky not to get more goals. Now, granted, that's been a recurring theme for him over the season. Lots of very good opportunities that he wasn't putting away. Though, in this case, he didn't miss any open sitters. But it was, for one thing, it was good to see him not miss a beat in terms of form. You know, it's one thing to come on and not get any scoring opportunities, but he definitely came onto this game and definitely put in a shift. He arguably should have had more than just the one goal, but we'll let it slide at the moment. But overall, I thought that was fantastic from him. Otherwise, my observations for the match, really, for this past weekend, is that it was a very typical Rowdies performance. A lot of pretty solid defensive work. We didn't really give New York a lot of opportunity, really. Couple of weird moments with Lasso and Loro communication issues, or, you know, and in actuality, it was just some weird decisions on Loro's port to begin with. You know, 67th minute of the game, he has the collision with Lasso that translates to New York getting the ball, taking the shot, and it goes off the post.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Loro all the way. He was very late coming off the line after that ball was kicked into the box. He was going into a position that Lasso realistically already had covered. And he wasn't able to get to the ball, and he wasn't able to clear it at all. So he was late. He was late. He was going to an area he didn't need to be at, and then he missed the ball on top of it. If that had gone in the net, that would have been entirely on Evan Loro. There was another moment later in the match, late towards the second half, where a ball got don't know. Actually, I think it would have been in the first half, wouldn't it? Yeah, it was the first half. They had a shot that got blocked by one of our defenders. The ball kind of goes up in the air and kind of sneaks in back behind our defense. Lauro comes out to meet it and then doesn't touch the ball at all. Kind of has a weird, awkward, like, jumping moment rather than just going through the ball and through the player when he had a clear opportunity to do both cleanly. Instead, he kind of, like, jumps up in the air anticipating some sort of, like, a chip shot thing, which, like I said, turned out really awkward, but it also gave the opposing player a pretty easy tap-in if he had managed to put it on frame, and it goes out for a goal kick. So, like, it was a pretty shaky moment. On top of that, of course, what was it? Second half stoppage at the very end of the game. New York gets a free kick on our, you know, on our end of the field. And we decide to do an extremely bold offside trap on a free kick. And everybody gets the memo, except for Aaron Guillen. Aaron lets the entire team on sides as he runs backwards and the rest of the team is moving towards midfield. And somehow by miracle, the New York free kick goes right to Aaron Guillen.
Just the way they practiced.
Absolute miracle. Goes right to the one defender that actually goes back. There's like four or five wide open New York players in the back post, and it goes short. It goes near post. And then the referee subsequently blows the whistle after the ball's cleared out. So, you know, there's not a lot of yelling and screaming on the field after that because the game's over. We win. Okay, let's forget about that ever happening. That would have been absolutely embarrassing. And that would have been unfortunate because that would have been another bad moment for Aaron Guillen, which after some of the crazy performances he was putting in like a month and a half, 2 months ago, where he's clearing, you know, shot after shot off the line, he's had a lot of shaky performances over the last 2 months. So, you know, it's how positive do we want to be? We want to be positive. Look, we've won 2 out of 3. You know, we got short-term memory, right? 2 out of 3 we've won. We came back on the road.
Against the next to last team in the division that only has 3 wins on the season.
Hey, if you can't beat the worst, then you certainly have no chance of beating the best.
If you can't beat the worst, you might be the worst.
Exactly. So look, we're taking care of teams we have to take care of. Granted, we still haven't beaten anybody like convincingly this year, you could make an argument. You know, we beat Loudoun 3-1. We've beaten Charlotte 3-0 at the beginning of the year. We beat Pittsburgh 3-0 at the beginning of the year. Again, those like first two games, we don't even care about them anymore. They don't exist. At this point, you could almost just write off the whole first month of the season. None of that matters. None of it exists. We haven't done a great job of crushing teams on the scoreboard. We could certainly win 2-1 and do very well defensively. But we haven't been putting away enough. But you got to start somewhere, especially when you're coming into the rut that we've been in. You kind of have to rebuild your confidence. You have to kind of get that, like, I mean, it, again, soccer's a very, again, it's a flowing sport. It's like an artistry. You've got to get that mojo back into your system because when the goals start coming, it just starts to happen more naturally. When the wins start coming, that mentality starts to change and the wins start feeling, if you feel more comfortable winning. When you're losing a bunch, that's the mentality you have. First goal that comes in, you know, and it's like, oh, well, here we go again. So being able to get out of that, it's going to take a lot of effort. So hopefully these 2 of the last 3 games, the Charlotte game wasn't particularly pretty.
Nope.
but we'll see what happens. We saw a couple new faces this week. What that tells me, granted, Leo's was a injury-related late game day scratch. But, like, when you see Jordan Adebayo Smith getting a start again in favor of Zach Steinberger up top, that's a coach responding to the situation. You know, that's always encouraging to see, because if a coach believes he's right and he's very system-based, he's not going to make changes for anything unless it's injury-related. He doesn't care who the opponent is. He doesn't care who's in form and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is why when we played against Miami a couple weeks ago in Miami, granted we lost, but I was very encouraged by the fact that Neil was changing up the formation, changing up player positions, like the whole thing looked different. That's why I was okay with that. Inherently doing that is not wrong. That shows you have a coach that listens, that shows you have a coach that's watching, observing, and trying to learn, and trying to get the best out of his 18 on the game day roster. So, yes, it's New York. Yes, it's practically a home game because of all of the family and friends that we have that are from New York Red Bulls. I mean, considering that Tampa Bay Rowdies are basically New York Red Bulls 3.
We do have a listener question coming up along those lines.
Let us jump here. Let's just do a man of the match for the week. For this match.
I'm going with Max Lekaweki. Not just because of his performance on the field, although the performance on the field was great. But like you said, this was, you know, he kind of got the word last minute that not only was he going to be on the roster and traveling, but he was going to be starting in place of Leo Fernandez, who picked up a knock and wasn't able to go. So to go out there and put on that kind of performance on, you know, I know every one of these guys prepares as if they're going to be playing on Saturday, but in the, or Friday, whenever it is, it's USL, who knows, in the back of your head, you kind of have a mindset, I would assume, you know, maybe, you know, probably not likely, I'll be ready, but not kind of expecting it. So to be kind of thrown out there in that situation for a team that's been kind of struggling recently, filling an important role for that team and to do what he did. Absolutely. I'm going Max all the way.
I am as well. And as much as it pains me to say this, the absolutely disgraceful platform Fot Mob also has Max Lekaweki as the man of the match.
See, it's unanimous. There's one thing I did want to mention, though, and it's kind of funny. You mentioned how, you know, overall, it was just kind of a general, typical Rowdies performance. But if you look at the stats, there's some very definite non-Rowdies type areas. Like, we'll start with possession. New York with the 57-43 advantage. You know, maybe it's a home field thing. The Rowdies, you know, we're content to let them play with the ball a little bit more before going at them. But you don't see, you know, not that the Rowdies always have the lead in possession, but to, was it like a 14% percentage point difference? That's a little unusual. Rowdies were outpassed. Number one, they were outpassed, and number two, they only had 309 passes, which I don't have all, you know, full list in front of me, but that seems like a pretty low number for Tampa Bay. The passing accuracy, 67% overall, 60% in the opponent's half. Usually they're up in the 70s on both of those. At least it feels like one that's unusual, but in a good way. 15 interceptions to 9 for New York. So the Rowdies were able to step in and break up play and disrupt what New York was trying to do. And it's, you know, it's kind of, as I said, they're kind of unusual stats, but kind of like you were talking about with Neil swapping in some different players, tinkering with formations, it's being willing to play a slightly different style. Let's not worry about having possession of the ball as much as we've had in the past. Let's kind of focus on stepping in, breaking up these passes. Maybe we're not going to pass the ball as much. And maybe part of it is a byproduct from a road game on an artificial surface where they know they haven't done as well in general, excluding what was last year, year before that they kind of had a nice run on road wins. But it's nice to see, you know, Neil will always tell you that they're going to go out and play their game and they're not worried about it. But I think that there is a plan B.
Let me ask you a question. Have we gotten over the New York Red Bulls to being like a hex on our team?
I mean, I want to say yes, but you know, part of it could just be a factor of how bad New York is this year. But you know, we saw quotes from their players, like New York get like the New York players get up for the Rowdies, kind of almost the way the Cosmos players did. And it's one of the, I hate to use like the college football cliche of like, you know, throw out the record books when this game comes, this matchup comes in, especially when it's a reserve team and not a very good one, but it's a game where, you know, and you know, some of it's going to be the connection between the number of former Red Bull 2 players on the Rowdy's roster, the ones that have come through. We have witnessed some chippiness between Neil Collins and John Wolanek on the sidelines from time to time. Like, it's not a rivalry because it's a B team and it's one that's, you know, likely not to be in the league for much longer. But it does get spicy. But yeah, I kind of think we're over. I mean, you just don't want. But I also, you know, I don't want to sit here and kind of give the status of oh yeah, this is a boogie team. Like, you know, okay, last year that was Charleston. Fine, I can handle Charleston being a bit of a rival or a team that's, you know, maybe got some kind of spell over us for a little while. But like, Red Bulls 2, Loudon? No, I can't take that.
Well, the good news is New York is at the bottom. The good news is we haven't dropped any particular spaces here on the results sheet on the standings. There was an important game tonight here with a pretty interesting result. Matt? Yeah.
Turned out to swing our way a little bit. So other results from last week, like we said, Loudon beat Charlotte 0-0. Yes, I said what I said. That's a win for Loudon. I don't. And again, this is what drives me crazy.
That's a win for us.
Yeah, but like, you know, Charlotte will come in here and you know, put two or three up on us sometimes, and then they'll turn around and it's a scoreless draw against Loudon. Like, what the hell? Charleston lost 2-3 to Pittsburgh, helping Pittsburgh cement their current spot at the top of the division. Saturday, Hartford went out to the West Coast, continued their West Coast trip. They lost to Sacramento. They lost 4-2 to Colorado Springs. And then last night, New York lost 2-3 to Charlotte in New York. A couple games this week. The one we were watching tonight kind of coming in, so when I started getting ready for the show and opened up the show notes and kind of updating things, Pittsburgh had just gone 2-0 up on Miami in Pittsburgh. About a minute and a half, I think, and that might be generous afterwards, it was 2-2. Then just before we went on into second half stoppage, Miami had scored somewhere else along the way. Miami ends up winning that game 3-2. And we'll take a look at the impact that has on the current standings in just a second. A couple of other games this weekend, as we know, the Rowdies are playing on Friday, hosting Hartford Athletic. Charleston will also be hosting Loudon, so there's 3 points for Charleston. Might actually get them close to into the playoff positions. Saturday, Charlotte hosts Pittsburgh. Charlotte's on a little bit of a run lately. They've gotten points in 4 of their last 5 matches. New York is hosting San Antonio with a little bit of cross-conference play, and Miami travels to Austin And we'll see if Austin actually has enough players to field a team by the time that game kicks off. As far as your current standings, Pittsburgh is still on top of the Atlantic with 33 points, 10 wins, 5 losses, including tonight's loss, and 3 draws. They've got 4 wins in their last 5. Rowdies are 3 points back, but a win this weekend against Hartford would put the Rowdies back on top of the division. They'd be level on points, but they would have one more win, and they would have the advantage on goal difference. So Tampa Bay still in this one. Miami, with tonight's result, has moved into a tie on points with Tampa Bay with 30 points also. However, Miami only has 9 wins. That's the first tiebreaker, and Miami has a +3 goal difference as opposed to the Rowdies +8. So the Rowdies have the first 2 tiebreakers on them. Then it goes to head-to-head, which would have we played 2 games, 3 games? I know that if it's 2 games, then it's 1-1, so then that one's still tied too. Hartford, this Friday's opponent, is a few points back, 24 points. They've played 15 games, so they've started to get caught up a little bit in their games in hand, but they are not capitalizing on it. They've played 1 fewer game than Tampa Bay, but they are 6 points back. Had a nice little run for a little while, but they are struggling a little bit. They've lost 2 of their last 3, 3 of their last 5. And then down in the out-of-playoff position, Charlotte and Charleston right now both have 21 points. Charlotte leads on the overall wins tiebreaker. And Red Bulls and Loudoun combined don't have as many points as either Charleston or Charlotte. They are essentially eliminated at this point in the still kind of young season.
On a good note here with some good brief club news, Steven Dos Santos is back in training. He has been on the bench now for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I don't know how close we are to legitimately seeing him playing, because again, him being on the bench could potentially just be like one of those like 90th minute subs if you need somebody to like, you know, lob a ball into in a 1-1 type game.
Yeah, when I saw him show up on the bench for last weekend's game, that was kind of the one big thing I was watching for, other than the game itself, was is he going to get in, or is this a result of Fernandez is out, Lakowicki starting, we've got to put somebody else on the bench. I mean, they've gone with a short bench for a couple times this season. I was curious to see if he would get in. If he did, how long would it be? Did not come off the bench. May have just been there possibly as a decoy or a let him get out there and let him try to, you know, at least do some warm-ups, do some work on the side and start working himself back into match shape. In addition, Matthew Serbel made the bench, is back from his injury. He also did not get in. They were the only 2 outfield players not to get subbed on. Which kind of makes me think, you know, the Rowdies took the lead early in the second half, started making subs in, the first sub was in the, 54th minute. So about almost 10 minutes after the go-ahead goals, then a couple changes in the 68th and 1 last in the 86th. I don't think either of these guys were particularly ready. And you know, they're both offensive attacking players with the lead at that point, weren't really needed to come on to try and make a difference. So hopefully sooner rather than later. And we'll still keep an eye out for, we've seen Juan Tejada's back in training. There's lots of pictures of that floating around. We've seen Luis Fernando in training. So these guys are getting there. We're starting to get healthy. So when we talk about, are we turning a corner? You know, we've heard for weeks and weeks and weeks now that the sole reason, the major reason that we've been slumping is that Dos Santos is out. So if he's back on the bench and eventually getting back into the starting lineup, then we must be turning a corner, because here comes Superman. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Definitely things to look forward to. And, you know, if we can reverse the trend of results from the last month and a half, get a bit of a streak going again of some positives, and get all of these players back at the same time, that sets us up really well going into September, October.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to be excited about. That's something to look forward to. But it requires us putting, you know, keeping our nose to the ground, very much Max Lekwecki style.
Grinding
results. We got to grind results right now. When the form just isn't there, that's what you have to do. So I think this team can do it. I think we're setting up something pretty special here. For those that didn't catch some of the club announcements, there are $3 Bud Lights for those Friday night matches like the one coming up this week. If that's your thing, of course, by all means, go and have some fun. And they're cheap, so that's pretty awesome. And hopefully get some extra people in the stands.
Got to stay hydrated. If nothing else, go buy a bunch and take them home. You might need to stock up for Tropical Storm Depression. Rain Pattern Fred.
Hopefully it just parks itself over Cuba and completely rips itself open. That'd be great. Announced today. I don't remember if it was announced before today or not. Rowdies are going to be hosting a youth clinic as a part of a partnership doubleheader with USF. It will be at Corbett on a Thursday night. August 26th. So if you are a parent of a kid, you've got the ability of going out to USF Temple Terrace. By all means, that is a great opportunity to interact with the club. I am sure we're going to have some players out there. I say we, but I'm sure they will have some players out there to go ahead and interact. So that's going to make for a really cool and special time for the little kiddos. This Saturday, there is a academy match. Tampa Bay Rowdies taking on Miami FC Academy. It is another afternoon kickoff, middle of the day, 2 p.m. Now, that usually stinks. Of course, over the last couple of nights, that actually works when there's, you know, thunderstorms rolling in at 7. So, take it or leave it. That's what the option is. I know for a fact I can't go. I'm actually going to be building a shed for my parents this weekend. So, yippee-yay for me.
I would like to, but I gotta wait and see on a couple things. I mean, it's the first week of school. I honestly, big parts of today, had no clue today was Wednesday. It didn't help that we started school on Tuesday. It's the second day of school, and I believe HIPAA rules may prevent me from talking about some of the things that have already happened in my classroom this week, so I won't go into a lot of detail. I would love to. I might just be like crashed on the couch this weekend. We'll see. It's a really good thing that the game is on Friday night, because otherwise, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the doubleheader thing is cool. Like, I'm trying to check calendars and schedules now to see if there's a way to get up there, because it's the youth clinic in the early evening, followed by a doubleheader, a USF women's soccer game, followed by a men's soccer game. And it's just cool to see the Rowdies and USF teaming up. Like, green and gold's got to stick together. And so that's kind of neat. I would like to go out there. If you've got a child and they're in the clinic, then they get in free to both of the games. And I'm trying to think, I think the last USF game I've seen at Corbett was men's soccer in the NCAA tournament against New Mexico, when it was Dom Dwyer's last game, which is quite a while ago.
That's a long time ago.
I would like to get in. They're fun. The Gold Mouse put on a good show there. It's a great little stadium to watch a game at. Like, I remember at the end of the first season, when the Rowdies came back, that when they were like, yeah, we're not playing at Steinbrenner again next year. Like, Corbett was a place they were talking about having games at. And I think even like the night of the last home game against Crystal Palace Baltimore, there's a blast in the past. I think they were the guys I was talking to were like, yeah, we're definitely playing at USF next year. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. We'll see how that works. And then turned out to be Al Lang, which worked out for everybody, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Academy game on Saturday. So I would, I'm going to try and get to that one. 2 o'clock. We'll see. Some of it will depend on weather and what's going on there. But we'll see. I would like to do some more coverage of the Academy stuff because that was a lot of fun last time. A couple other things out there that I'm basically just scooping things off of Twitter at this point. Happy birthday to strength and conditioning coach Pete Calabrese. I probably just mangled that. It's the first week of school. I'm mangling names left and right these days. And also, this Friday night will be the last game for head trainer Andrew Keene. We heard about it about like a week or so ago. He posted something about it. I think it was yesterday or day before. Is moving on, taking another position. I don't know if he's announced it yet, so I'm not going to say what it is. I heard what it is. It's very cool for him. But has spent a lot of time with it. I think he said 7 years. Like, he's been around as long as we've been doing the show, as long as the show has been there. He's been part of the Rowdy staff. So best wishes for him. Thank you for the work that he's done. The players always have good things to say about the treatment they've gotten from Andrew. So thumbs up, and looking forward to seeing him in the stands at Al Lang for once instead of on the sidelines or even worse on the pitch, because that means somebody's hurt.
Well, this Friday night, Tampa Bay Rowdies are playing versus Hartford at Under the Lights of Al Lang Stadium. Hopefully the weather holds out and it's not going to be like the last couple of nights, but, the odds are, who knows? It's Florida. It's going to be a bit hit or miss. Just depends on the timing of it all. Hartford has been interesting. They are 4-4 on the road. Of course, they did defeat the Tampa Bay Rowdies in that 1-0, all hands on deck, throw every body we can and make the Great Chinese Wall in front of the net and somehow draw out 3 points. It worked the last time. Their last match, however, they travel out to Colorado Springs, who isn't all that terrible, and Colorado absolutely slaps them around 4-2. So they're feeling a little upset. They're going to be a little ticked. They're looking to get back in the win column. Tampa Bay Rowdies, with games in hand around the teams around them, are trying to get back into a position where they are back in first place. They are very close to that. Sets up for quite an interesting match this weekend.
You know, we'll take the opportunity to point out what should be incredibly obvious. Hartford stat leaders are pretty much unchanged from the last time around. Find a way to stop Danny Barrera. He's tied for the team lead in goals with 4. He's leading with 20 shots. He's leading with 7 assists, and he's created 34 chances. Goalkeeper Caldwell's made 60 saves, kept 5 clean sheets. As far as I know, because USL has not published a discipline report since week 13, and now we're in like week 16 or week 17, it's basically anarchy. Cats and dogs living together. I'm not wearing any pants, but I believe Lewis Hilton is still on yellow card warning, accumulation warning, because he's gathered 5 4 at this point. With all that in mind, do we want to make a prediction?
Yes.
Of course we want that. I mean, do we want to? No, we don't want to. Are we going to? Absolutely, we're going to. Steven, what is your prediction?
I think this week, and I think it would be a good result for us, all things considered, I'm predicting a draw. I'm thinking 1-1 Tampa Bay Rowdies and Hartford Athletic.
All right. Rowdies have not recorded a draw all season. Hartford has not drawn an away game. No better place than here, no better time than now for both of those to end. You're saying I'm going to go with a 2-1 Rowdies win. As the spirit of Michael Parsons guides the Rowdies to victory and back to the top of the Atlantic Division table. Just got a good feeling. Like, some unseen yelling from the stands distracts the Hartford players, and it's all over. I'm going for that.
Well, we love yous. My we love you goes to the master of who are you, Michael Parsons, of course. We will miss you. Miss the photographs. We'll miss the laughs. We'll miss the taunts. It's a personality gone from Al Lang that anybody who's been with the mob for any length of time knows this, knows who he was, knows how important he was. And we will miss you, buddy.
Also, we love yous to, I mean, Mike's family, friends, everybody who was especially close with him in the mob and in at Al Lang in general. Also want to send on a lighter note, happy birthdays to our good friend Abby at Soccer Crush. It's her birthday today, so we're gonna do that. We're of course doing this episode just for her. Planned it out that way. Just worked out that way. And we'll go ahead and lump Andrew in here too, since Andrew's final home game, final game with the Rowdies. Throw in a we love you for him as well too. Thank you, as always, the eternal always to Wolfface for the music, to Radio St. Pete for the platform, and to Shamrock for having cold beers, even if they don't have my Narragansett anymore, or at least temporarily, not right now. We'll try and get that fixed. Nothing better than saying howdy, neighbor, even if sometimes you don't like your neighbors for various reasons. Thank you to everyone out there who is listening tonight, whether you're listening live or listening later on the podcast. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review, and puts us in front of more faces and more eyes, and we can afflict other people the way that we have afflicted you guys as well. If you'd like to support us on an ongoing basis, please go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. You've got sponsorships starting from $1 a month all the way up to 10, or you can pick your own. Go higher if you want to. We will certainly not say no to that. Helps us keep the show costs manageable. Helps us replace equipment. Helps us to do some new and different things every now and then. Thank you also to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Finally, if you're tired of the same old uniforms and cookie-cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, if you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. We will see you on Friday. Go Rowdies.